Yeah, it's good to be with you tonight. We're thankful for the opportunity to be visiting in Northern Ireland. We are under the North American Presbytery. I'm from the U.S. A couple of people have asked me over this last month and a half if I'm from here. I think my accent is very clear that I'm not from around here. I am from the U.S., and my wife is from Canada, and our two boys are from Mexico. And so we have the very North American family. We're very privileged to be here. We were here in 2010 before we went to Mexico, Danielle and I. And now, almost 14 years later, we have the chance to come back and visit even more churches and to report on what the Lord has done. We're thankful for your prayers and for the opportunity to be here tonight. We'll show that video first, and then after that, I'll come back and say a few words.
Jason and Danielle Boyle arrived in Mexico in July of 2010. Before starting their ministry, they studied Spanish at the local university. During this stage, the Lord in His providence brought some people together, and they were able to hold their first church service on January 1st, 2012, in their home. They started with 13 people and met in their home for 9 months. During that time, the Lord began to bless the church in an amazing way. People started coming. Some were saved, while others were thankful to have found a church with sound doctrine. In the first year, the Lord gave them a foundation to build on, a core group of people that were saved, that the Lord was sanctifying, and that was committed to the work of the church. After 9 months, they moved their meeting place to a rented garage with two additional rooms that were made into a kitchen and a children's room. They stayed in this location for almost 9 years. During those beginning years, they focused on teaching the people, almost all of whom were new Christians or Christians coming from churches with false doctrine. They focused on studying doctrine, worship, and church government. The Lord blessed and continued to teach the people, as well as bring in family members and others to be saved, baptized, and form part of the church. Around the time when the church moved its meeting place, they began Sunday school for adults and children. The Children's Sunday School is a 5-year program which has graduated 2 groups of children who are now young adults and adults in the church. Currently, they have a Sunday school for ages 2 through 10 with about 10 children, which they hope to split into 2 classes when there is space to allow for it. The church ran a vacation Bible school for 7 years, which was a great opportunity to connect with the community and establish a local presence in the neighborhood. The majority of the children in attendance throughout the years of VBS were from unbelieving families in the neighborhood, and some years there were up to 60 children. Over the years, the Lord continued to bless, and with its ups and downs, the church grew slowly and steadily. In February of 2017, just after the church's 5-year anniversary, the church was constituted, and Jason was ordained as the pastor. It was a time of much blessing and reflection on how the Lord had worked in the church and brought it to the point of constitution. It was a joyful and emotional service for all. The church welcomed 23 founding members that day and enjoyed the presence of representatives of the North American Presbytery. Since that time, the church has elected 5 deacons who are a tremendous blessing to their pastor and church. Even though in the years following, the church went through some times of tribulation and difficulty, the Lord has sustained His work in His grace. Throughout the years, more than 25 people have been baptized, and members continue to be added to the church. The Lord has been very good, and the church currently has a regular attendance of 80 to 85 people. In July 2021, the church moved to a new location that continues to require much work to make it usable, but does provide the church with more space. In January 2022, the church celebrated its 10-year anniversary. A common theme recently among the new congregants who have come from previous churches is that of spiritual abuse at the hands of false teachers. Many people have had to unlearn some bizarre teachings and start from scratch, constructing their lives upon the solid Word of God. The Lord has graciously allowed many people to pass through the church's doors and make themselves a part of their church community. Each has their own story, which is precious to our Savior.
Mariana is a young lady of 17 who was far from the Lord in her early teenage years. She attended with her family, but was very rebellious and resistant to the Lord and His Word. During the pandemic, when she was 15, the Lord saved her after hearing the preaching of the Word one Sunday. From that point on, there was a remarkable change in her attitude and her desire to be in God's house and God's Word. She travels 2 hours each way in public transportation with her mom and brother every Sunday to attend church. When the Lord saved her, she began praying in the prayer meetings, and everybody was thrilled by the change in her life. Last year, in one of her public school classes, the teacher was assigning topics for a debate and asked the class if anyone was against homosexuality. Only Mariana raised her hand. So the teacher told her that she would take the side of the debate against homosexuality, and that she, the teacher, would take the opposing side. Mariana began preparing for the debate and asked the church for prayer since she was very nervous. The church prayed for God's grace, and the young people of the church set up a mock debate to help her prepare. The Lord gave much grace during the debate and answered prayer as well in giving Mariana opportunity to share the gospel. After the debate, the teacher asked if she would stay on after the class and then expressed to her that she had never heard anyone defend their position so clearly and asked her questions about the gospel. God gave Mariana grace to share the gospel with her teacher in that moment, as well as with another classmate who sought her out after the debate. We are so thankful for the Lord's work in her life and pray that she will continue to grow in Him. She helps in the children's Sunday school and hopes to be a Sunday school teacher one day. Angel is an 11-year-old boy that has been in the church since he was 3. His mother, who is a single mom, attended off and on in the early years of the church. Angel would throw a temper tantrum any time his mom tried to bring him to children's Sunday school, since he associated with his regular public school. After many months of this, Danielle was able to bring him into the Sunday school room and hold him while he cried, and eventually, for the first time, he began listening and participating. After the class, he very sweetly thanked Danielle for helping him to be in the class. Ever since that day, he has been a most attentive Sunday school student. However, there were still reports from his mom that he was very difficult at home and at school. During the pandemic, when he was 9 years old, Danielle encouraged him and the other children to continue on with their Bible readings and memorizing the children's catechism. Danielle got extra copies of the 8-book series that is used in the Sunday school program so that she could lend each child a book, and when they would finish, they would trade it in for the next one. Angel excelled in this area, and as a byproduct, his mom has learned much basic Bible knowledge as well. She gave testimony that during the pandemic, something changed in Angel. It was a heart change that filtered down to all areas of his home life and school life. God, in His grace, reached down and used the truths and doctrines from the Bible reading and catechism to change this boy's heart. Even surprised Danielle over a Zoom call by memorizing the last chunk of the catechism questions way before schedule. Each family in the church has their own story, and we are thankful for the Lord's work in each one. Pray that the Lord will continue to bring His people into the church, and that they would receive the teaching and love that they need to grow in Him for His glory.
The Lord has given many opportunities for ministry within the church over the years. Besides Sunday school and VBS, for years the church has had men's and women's meetings. Even pre-pandemic, many would participate by listening to an audio recording of the meetings because the largeness of the city and the traffic made it impossible for them to come out to a meeting during the week. For 8 years, the church hosted a women's conference where women from sister churches in other states and other local churches would attend. For many years, the church had youth meetings as well, and in the Lord's grace, many young people continue to grow in the Lord and are committed to the local church. There is a great burden in the church for them, that the Lord would protect them and raise them up as leaders of the next generation for His name. There was an annual youth camp for 3 years that began in 2017 for the youth of the church and those of the sister churches in Mexico. As in any country, the young people are being attacked and influenced by the world. Pray that they will grow in their faith and that they would form friendships and relationships with other Christians their age. There are 5 deacons in the church who have been a great help in the last few years. They have taken on many responsibilities and have enjoyed their service to the local church. There is also a group of men that have met together as part of an elder training program. This is one of the local church's biggest needs, that the Lord would raise up men to come alongside Jason and serve as elders in the church. Some men who make up that group are coming along well, and we pray that in the near future, the church would have the blessing of electing elders. One of those men who has studied for many years with Jason is Ruben, who is a 25-year-old deacon that has been in the church since almost the very beginning. The Lord saved him and has called him to the ministry. He has been studying for a few years and in 2021 began taking seminary courses. He is also translating some of the Geneva Reformed Seminary courses into Spanish and is doing some preaching in the church. Pray that the Lord would protect him and help him to grow spiritually so that one day he can go out and be used in the pastoral ministry. Pablo is another man who is called to the ministry and began his seminary work in GRS in the fall of 2022. He has a heart for the people and a desire to serve the Lord in the Free Presbyterian Church. Please pray for his preparations and as he begins to preach in the church. One of the things that the Lord has done over these 10 years in the church is something completely unexpected. He has opened the door for ministry, not just in the local church, but also with men and churches who have joined and want to be part of the Free Presbyterian denomination. Throughout these years, pastors and men have contacted Jason, wanting to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church. Over time, relationships have been established, both formal and informal. These relationships start out with visits to their churches to get to know them, and if there is continued interest, there are subsequent trips to encourage and teach on the FBC distinctives. Many contacts have been made and developed, and even today, there continues to be new interest where contact and teaching is in the beginning stages. Lalo Peña is pastor of a church in Cordova, Veracruz, which is about 4.5 hours east of Mexico City. Jason met him through contact with another pastor in 2014 and has enjoyed fellowship with him since that time. In that same year, he came under care of the North American Presbytery and over the years took Geneva Reformed Seminary courses, which Jason proctors. He has been licensed by the presbytery and is preparing for ordination and the future constitution of his church. Lalo was pastor in a large charismatic church, but came out of that movement when he learned the doctrines of grace and began a small Reformed church about 7 years ago. Pray for Lalo and his family and church that the Lord will bless with growth and allow many years serving him in Mexico. Ramon Sosa is pastor in the Dominican Republic who contacted Jason in 2016 with an interest in joining our denomination. He came under care of the presbytery that year and has recently finished his courses from Geneva Reformed Seminary and been licensed, and is preparing his church for constitution within our denomination and for his ordination, Lord willing. He is a 4-hour or so plane ride away, but Jason has been able to visit him 6 times. Praise the Lord for what he's doing even in other Latin American countries. Jair Aguilar is a young man that Jason met 8 years ago at a conference, and the friendship continued over the years, especially when he started a church 5 years ago in the state of Puebla. Jason has preached for them and taught on the doctrines of grace, Presbyterian church government, and Free Presbyterian distinctives. They have come under the supervision of the Mexico City Church as a mission church, and Jair has begun his seminary training with Jason proctoring his courses. The Mexico City Church has a special link with this church in Tehuacan, as Melisette, a young lady from Mexico City who attended the church from the very first Sunday, was baptized in the church, became a beloved Sunday school teacher for the children, and was a founding member, married Jair in 2019. She is an English teacher and is currently helping by translating GRS seminary courses. Another man who has joined with Jason and the Mexico City work is Wenceslao, whom Jason met in the same conference years ago where he met Jair. He lives and ministers in Jalpan de Serra, Querétaro, and is teaching his church the doctrines of grace and Presbyterian church government. He is continuing his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. Wenceslao's brother-in-law, Pepe, lives in Axla, San Luis Potosí, and is also striving to teach his church sound doctrine and what the denomination believes. Pepe is continuing his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. Together with these five men, Jason's desire is that the Lord would raise up a Mexican Free Presbyterian denomination with the desire to reach out to other Latin American countries as well. The pastors have begun meeting twice a year for a week of prayer and to plan, and are seeking the Lord's guidance for wisdom and how to move forward. Another opportunity that opened up a couple of years ago is in Soconzotla, Puebla. Miguel is an indigenous preacher who is interested in learning sound doctrine and is looking for the Lord's leading. Juan, a pastor of a charismatic church in a village just 15 minutes away from Soconzotla, has also recently expressed an interest in learning Reformed doctrine and being taught. The native language in these villages is Totonaco, and so, although these men do speak Spanish, their education is more difficult. Sarai, a single lady from the Mexico City Church, moved to Soconzotla in 2021 and has begun to minister to the women and children there. A visit in March 2021 provided them with encouragement and teaching materials, and in the summer of 2022, the Mexico City Church sent an evangelistic team during a medical campaign. Pray for wisdom in regards to how the Lord would work in Soconzotla. These many opportunities are one of the most exciting things happening in the ministry in Mexico. The Boyles are focused on the local church and what the Lord is doing there, but He has also opened up these doors of opportunity in Mexico and Latin America for fellowship and for working together with sister churches. It has been a great blessing, especially in the area of fellowship, since the Mexico City Church is the first Free Presbyterian Church in Mexico and in all of Latin America. The work is separated from its sister churches in North America, Ulster, and Nepal by distance, culture, and language, but the Lord has brought fellowship with these more local brethren and their churches, which has been a great encouragement. The Mexico City Church serves as a hub of fellowship and teaching for these other churches. These opportunities in fellowship with these sister churches, along with the opportunities for church plants, show the great need for laborers. The Boyles are praising the Lord that there are a few men studying the seminary courses that Jason proctors, as well as a few more that have shown interest. In 2021, Jason began to teach seminary-type courses in Spanish, starting with a homiletics class with 16 men from all over the country, and Lord willing, will be continuing with biblical theology and other courses afterwards. Long-term, there is a need for a seminary. That is beyond the scope of possibility currently, as there is simply not enough time and resources to develop it. Geneva Reformed Seminary courses are being translated for the men, and also some courses are being adapted as necessary according to the materials that are available in Spanish. Laborers and materials are needed to start a seminary in the future. This is the vision for the future of the work in Mexico. Pray for the Lord to raise up men to plant churches, both in the city and in other parts of Mexico, and that He will guide in the formation of a Mexican presbytery, a Mexican Free Presbyterian Church, so that His name is glorified. The Lord is doing a work in Mexico and in all of Latin America. People are hungry for sound doctrine, hungry for stable and solid biblical churches. Pray that the Lord would use the work in Mexico City to meet those needs. Pray that the Lord would first of all raise up men in the local church in Mexico City, that He would raise up elders for the work. But then also pray that the Lord would send men out to plant churches, that the formation of a Mexican presbytery would go smoothly with these men who have joined with the work and with others who have been in contact and are interested. The door is wide open, and the need is great. The church began by meeting in the Boyles' home. Then, after the first 9 months, they moved to the location where they met for the next 9 years. Thankfully, a year ago, they moved to a slightly bigger place that will accommodate their growing congregation. But they are still in need of a permanent place to meet, a place that will work for them long-term as they grow and minister in Mexico City. Their current location has a roof that creates a greenhouse effect, and even with 8 or 9 fans going every Sunday, the heat causes a serious problem. The rainy season has also shown where the water leaks are more prominent. There has been water damage to some furniture, even though they cover all of the kitchen in large tarps at the end of every Sunday. Measures are taken to provide an extra layer of protection from the elements for the piano, sound equipment, and kitchen during the week. During the last part of 2019, the Boyles began to look in earnest for a place to buy. The idea of owning a property in Mexico City always seemed beyond their resources, but in faith they decided to see what was available. They believe the Lord has led them to this property, which is located just about a third of a mile from where they used to meet and about a mile from where they are currently meeting. And that's very important, because this is the area of the city where the Lord has called the church to be, and it's important to continue with a presence that has been established in the community. This property is not on the main street, which is helpful because of the noise level, and because sometimes the main streets get shut down for parades, causing problems on Sundays. But it is only a 3-minute walk away from the main street, which is perfect for people coming on public transport and still in a very visible place in the community. The property consists of 2 parts. Half of the land is empty and not built up at all, and the other half has 2 houses, one that could be used for a man's and the other as space for offices, midweek meeting rooms, and Sunday school rooms while they build on the empty lot. After a church building is constructed, the second house would serve to house pastors and their families that come for presbytery meetings and for mission teams. The opportunities this property gives are endless. The desire is to build a church building that can also be used for presbytery meetings, conferences, and a seminary, with a parking lot beside it, something that is much needed in one of the largest cities in the world. This property would not only meet the local congregation's growing needs, but also serve to help other churches, to be a hub and a help to their sister churches, and to be able to meet the needs of a Free Presbyterian denomination in Mexico in the near future. The property is over 2,000 square meters, which is over 20,000 square feet, or about 1/2 acre. It's hard to find property that size to build on in Mexico City, and especially in the part of the city where the church is located. The Boyles believe the Lord has led them there, and that this is the property He has for them. So please pray that the Lord will provide, not only in regards to their need for a property, but for their local church and all the doors the Lord has opened there. Thank you for praying for them and for being a part of the work in Mexico. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118, verse 23.
Watching that, we're very thankful for what the Lord has done. I think it's good to be able to show with pictures and video so you can see for yourselves. We're very thankful for the growth the Lord has given to us over the years. You saw where we started meeting in our own home with a group of 11 people plus Danielle and I. And from that group, when we left, the Lord was giving us about 100 people on Sundays. And we're very thankful for that growth and what the Lord is doing, and also praying for more, because understand that Mexico City is one of the biggest cities in the world. And we have a metropolitan area of over 20 million people. So if you can think about, you have less than 2 million here in the province, so 10 times the population of the entire province of Ulster in one city is what we have in Mexico City. So that's a lot of people, a lot of traffic, a lot of need, and a lot of opportunity. So there's great need for more churches, for more men to be raised up, and for more people to go and preach the gospel there. If you would pray for us that the Lord will continue to grow the church and bring in visitors and bring in those who need to be saved, and also those who are looking for a church with good doctrine. Those two men who are preparing for full-time ministry, if you would pray specifically for them, it was Ruben and Pablo. Those men are both under care of our North American presbytery. Ruben is finishing up his final year of seminary this year. They'll have a year internship to do, and then we're praying the Lord will guide him whether he would start a church in Mexico City or someplace else. Pablo has a couple more years to go of seminary, but we're praying the Lord will lead them and will help them, if you remember them in prayer. We have a few men preparing to be ruling elders as well. Over the years, as we mentioned in the video, we've been preparing men, having men's studies and more specific studies for some of the men who look like they could be preparing to be elders in the future. And we do, thankfully, now have three men who are candidates to be ruling elders. And it's a big step forward for our church. It's always, I think, important to explain that we're not in the States or Canada or Ulster. Mexico is very different. Mexico is different in one sense because the Reformation never came to Latin America. So all the centuries that you've had here, we've had in the States and Canada, those Christian principles that our nations were built on do not exist in Mexico or in any part of Latin America. We do not have people whose parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were Christians. We don't have people where the gospel has been preached in their country and culture for generations. Almost all of the people in our church are first-generation Christians. And so you can understand the obstacles there or the need there to be able to teach the men. Because these are men who have not grown up with good doctrine. These are men who have started from scratch. Some who have been saved and some who have come from churches with false doctrine. And so to be able to take that time to teach them and to bring them along and to now see that we have a few men who are at that point where they could join in the work as ruling elders is a great blessing and a great encouragement to myself and to the church there. So pray for that. It'll be a big step forward for the church, and so we're sure there will be spiritual resistance as well. That always happens when the church is taking those type of step forwards. So pray for us. Lord willing, and beginning of next calendar year, we'll be having that election. When I go back, we'll be finishing up the elder training program with these men, and pray the Lord will preserve them in their own lives, in their families, and continue to teach them and to help them as they come alongside. Any pastor needs that, as you very well know. Every pastor needs his elders, his ruling elders, to help in the pastoring of the church. That's something that's absolutely vital for any church, especially in the Presbyterian church. And I feel that very well as well as a missionary, because I come from a different country and a different culture, and you know, they're preaching and teaching, and the people do respect that, but it's something else when people who grew up in that area, the local men, are able to come along, and the people can see that they have learned as well, and they have that pastoral heart, and they have the desire to serve in the church. We pray specifically for that. For those sister churches as well, and for a future presbytery in Mexico, that's something that's very important. It's not something we planned on when we went to Mexico at all, but the Lord has very clearly opened doors. It's taken time. That first man, Lalo, came under care of North American Presbytery in 2014. So that was 9 years. And Ramon came in 2016. Those two men, since the video was made in this last year, have both been ordained and their churches constituted by a North American Presbytery. That's a big step forward. And those other three churches, they're doing well. The men are preparing, they're training, and they're teaching their churches sound doctrine, what the denomination believes. It was a really great desire in those five men and their churches to become a part of the Free Presbyterian Church. It's not something we forced on them at all. They've come to us, and they're looking for that fellowship that we have and to be part of what our denomination offers. And really, it's not about the denomination. We understand that. It's not about the name. It's the water body of Christ. But as you know better than I, many of you, our denomination does have something to offer that many other churches do not. That expository preaching of the Word of God and the focus on prayer and evangelism and revival and all those things that are part of the Free Presbyterian Church and that the Lord has used through the decades it seems like in Latin America there's a great desire for that. And I think that needs to be encouraging for you as well, because in the month and a half that we've been here in Ulster, we have heard that it's not revival all the time. There's great spiritual resistance here as well. Things are not the same as they were a generation ago. And sometimes that can be discouraging. But it's interesting to see how the Lord has used the church here in Ulster, but as a mother church for North America. And it seems like if the Lord wills and will continue to guide, maybe in Latin America as well. And so you're a part of that, which is something I want to bring to your attention as we come to the Word of God in just a moment. But you're really a part of that as well. And this denomination here in Ulster is a part of that, what the Lord is doing and what he will do in Latin America. So pray for those sister churches, and not just for in Mexico, because we have the man in the Dominican Republic, but there's also people who have been contacting us over the last couple of years in other Latin American countries like Argentina and Colombia and Guatemala. These are men who are interested in being taught sound doctrine, and some interest in some of those places of establishing also a Free Presbyterian Church. Now, we don't have the men for that yet or the resources, but pray the Lord would guide us as we visit, hopefully in the future, and be able to see if there's a real interest, if the Lord would have us to take that step forward. And then if you pray specifically for that land that we need as a church, and something that would serve, as we mentioned, for a future presbytery, a future seminary. One of the biggest cities in the world, you can imagine that land is at a premium. There's not a lot of land left to be sold, and it's very expensive as well. But if the Lord have that place for us, then he will provide through the generous giving of his people. As a church, we've been saving for years as well, but the Lord can use his people all over the world to be able to help with that as well. We do have those prayer cards that your minister mentioned, and we also send out a prayer update every couple of months. If you want to be on that, you can come up to me after the service. I can take down your email. You can make sure your minister as well is on that prayer list so that you can continue to be updated, because we're not back here very often, as you can understand. We're back to the States and Canada once in a while and very rarely here in Ulster. And so if we can keep in touch through email, so you can continue to pray for us and also to praise the Lord for the request that he will definitely answer in the future. So we appreciate that your prayers for us and your participation really in the missionary work that the Lord is doing in Mexico. And I want to encourage us with that if we turn to Acts chapter 13 before we come to prayer. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verses 1 to 3, and then also later on we'll look over in chapter 14. What I want us to meditate on in this brief time before we pray together is that we can all be participating. We all need to be participating in the missionary work of the Lord. Everybody, every Christian has something that they can do. Every Christian has something that they should be doing as part of the missionary work of the Lord. That's very important because we can come to these meetings, you can see the videos, and it's happened, I'm sure, with other missionaries as well, and it can be interesting, and you can praise the Lord for what he's doing in other parts of the world, but there can also maybe be that question of, what can I do? It's great that the missionary has gone out there and what the Lord is doing, but how can I be a part of that? So we turn here to Acts chapter 13. We'll read here in verses 1 to 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The first principle I want us to see here is that every Christian should be involved in missionary work, and some Christians are involved in their own local church. Why do I mention that? Why do I read these verses and then say that? Well, you notice here that in these first few verses, we read about Paul and Barnabas. That's very common. We always hear about Paul and Barnabas, very famous. We teach the Sunday school children, we teach our own children about Paul and Barnabas and their missionary journeys. But we very rarely think about the local church at Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas were, and that sent them out as missionaries. What's a very important part as well. Again, if you look at verse 1, it mentions that church. They were in the church that was at Antioch. It was a local church, and it gives a list of the men who were ministering in that church, including Paul and Barnabas, but also not just Paul and Barnabas. There were these other men mentioned, and I'm sure there were other people in that church as well. And so I think it's important to see, first of all, the importance of the local church in missionary work. Every local church, biblical, growing local church, should be a place where Christians are serving, where they're ministering. So it says in verse 2, as they ministered, the Lord and fasted. So these men were working in the church. They were using their gifts in the church. And that's the way it is, or that's the way it should be in every church. We should never downplay the importance of the local church in its own community and also in the larger mission field. And to remind you something that you know very well, but every single Christian is called to be a part, an active serving part of the local church. The Lord does not call any of his children to attend church once a week and twice a week, and that's it. Church attendance is important, but church participation is what the Lord is calling us to do. It's one thing to attend the church. It's another thing to serve in a church, to be part of a local church. But every Christian here, every Christian in this local church, and all of our churches should be doing that. We have the example of Antioch and, of course, the other churches in the New Testament as well. But not just everyone serving, but we can see when the Lord does call out missionaries, when the Lord specifically is separating out people to serve him someplace else, these are the people he's using. He's using people from a local church that are serving, that are ministering to the Lord in their own local church. We see that's what happened here in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So this church was an active local church. It was a church that was really preparing and training missionaries and then sending them out. That's important as well, to be able to send out missionaries from our churches. Obviously, the presbytery has a lot to do with that as far as the supervision of education and officially sending them out and support and all those things. But what does the local church have to do with that? It's important to understand that in the local churches, we're looking for people who go out and not just stay. In other words, we have children in our local churches and young people, and the desire of a minister is that they stay and be part of the local church and they grow up and serve in the local church, and that's important. We pray for that as well. But we should also be prepared to send out the best members of our local churches. We should be prepared to send out those children and young people when they grow up and the Lord calls them to go someplace else. We shouldn't want them just to stay. No, stay here, stay here, stay here. If the Lord calls them to stay, then stay. But the Lord calls some people as well to go. And the local church, when it's a growing, healthy, biblical local church, should be praying for that and be a part of that. Train up people. Send them out. But not just send out missionaries, but also support the missionaries who go out. We can see that if we go over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. This is the end of the missionary journey when Paul and Barnabas are coming back. It says, "When they preached the gospel to that city and it taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." Down to verse 26. "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." A little more implicit here, but we can see that this church didn't just send out their missionaries and then forget about them. This church was clearly supporting their missionaries as they were out because they came back. After the missionary labors, they came back to their home church, to their local church that had sent them out. And they were comfortable there, as it says in verse 28, there they abode long time with the disciples. And so clearly this church had not forgotten them. They hadn't just sent them out and forgotten about them. They were supporting them, at least in prayer, maybe in other ways, as they were out on the missionary journey. So all these things are important for the local church. And my emphasis here is that every Christian, as a part of his or her local church, can be involved in this way in missionary work. Some of you may teach Sunday school children. You may teach your own children. You may teach the young people here in the church. Or you may just have the gift of exhorting and talk to people. You may just make the kids feel welcome when they come on Sundays. All those things are important. It's all a part of teaching and training and preparing people that the Lord might call to go out someplace else. You can all be praying to the Lord that he would raise up missionaries from this local church. It doesn't matter how large or small the local church is. The Lord can call. The Lord is still calling people to go out as missionaries. And when missionaries do go out from this local church or from the wider denomination, all of you in this local church can support the missionaries who go out.
by prayer, by giving, all sorts of practical ways that we can support missionaries. Every Christian, without exception, can be and needs to be part of the missionary work of the Lord in his own local church. That's the first principle we see here. Then we go back over to chapter 13. The second principle is that some Christians are involved in missionary work as missionaries who go out to a different culture, go out to a different country. Again, here in chapter 13, we see in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. So Paul and Barnabas were active in their local church. And that's always what happens with missionaries. The Lord is not calling people who are not doing anything to go out and then start doing something in another country. Right? It doesn't work like that. If you're called to be a missionary, you're called to serve the Lord someplace else, you start here in your own local church. You start with that passion to tell others about the gospel in your own family, with your friends, at school, at work, wherever it may be. Someone does not just cross the border into another country and all of a sudden get a passion for sharing the gospel. That's not how that works. The Lord calls those who are actively ministering in their local church and calls them to do that same work someplace else. So I emphasize what it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit called them. As the Lord took Paul and Barnabas from their local church and sent them out. What did they do as they were out? We can see there in verse 5, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. The same thing says in chapter 14, verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. That's very simply what a missionary does. A missionary goes out to another culture, most often another country, but to another culture, to share the gospel with people who have never heard. Maybe it's very obvious, but because of the times in which we live and a great emphasis in even the wider evangelical world about a social gospel and going out to help people in a social way, it's very important to emphasize what we believe biblically. We're not sending out missionaries simply to feed the hungry and clothe the poor or teach people to read. Those are good things. And very often a missionary does those things as part of his ministry. But that's not the main thing. We send out missionaries to share the gospel, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel with children, with women, people who've never heard before. That's why we send. That's what Paul and Barnabas did when they went out. They preached the gospel to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and the Lord used them in their missionary work. Paul and Barnabas also, we see in chapter 14, verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. They weren't just going here and there, preaching, and then leaving. They were discipling the believers that the Lord had saved, exhorting them in their faith, suffering with them, and teaching them about tribulation. And in verse 23, we read that they were ordaining elders in every church. This is really important for mission work. They didn't just go out, preach the gospel, and then disappear. They were raising up healthy local churches. They were church planting. And they weren't just leaving these believers behind with no one to teach them either. They were clearly training men and preparing men and establishing elders in every church that they established. That's what we're trying to do in Mexico. That's why I mentioned that prayer request for these three men that we're hoping will be elected as ruling elders, because that is the biblical model. That's what missionaries do when they go out. And of course, we already saw in verses 26 to 28 how they came back. But I want to emphasize again what it says, verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So a missionary is prepared, is trained in his own local church. He's sent out, he goes out to preach the gospel, to disciple believers, to plant local churches, to share the gospel with those who have never heard. And then, most often, a missionary will, at some point, come back to his home church or home churches, home denomination, and give a report. That's what it says here. They rehearsed all that God had done. They gave a report, just what we've done tonight, in different format, but the same idea. And a missionary does that. A missionary comes home at some point, as your minister mentioned at the very beginning, to be encouraged and to be an encouragement. We come back to give this report so that you're encouraged what the Lord is doing in other parts of the world, because many times you don't think about what the Lord is doing in other countries. Or maybe you think about certain missionaries and you haven't heard about others and probably haven't heard much about Mexico before. And you can be encouraged that the Lord is still doing his work. He's doing it all over the world. And sometimes, as I mentioned, in our own maybe local focus, we don't see it. We don't see it like it used to be. And it can be discouraging because it seems like the Lord is no longer building his church. But it's not true. It's not true here, but you can see it maybe more in other countries now because as the Lord worked in Europe and North America in the past, it seems like the Lord is beginning to do that same kind of work in Latin America. The Reformation has come in the last 20 or 30 years, finally, to Latin America. And we can be encouraged by that because we're part of the same body of Christ. We're part of the same family. We're separated by distance, by language. You probably never meet any or most of the people in our church. They'll never be here. But we can be encouraged because the Lord is still saving people and we're going to spend an eternity together. Those from every tribe and tongue and nation, that includes those in Mexico and those here at NOST. So it's encouraging, we hope, for you as we come back and give this report. And it's encouraging for us because we can come back and visit so many churches in a short amount of time, which is tiring on the one hand, but is very encouraging on the other. For two reasons. One, because as with any minister, sometimes you tend to get focused on the little details of things that are not going well in your local church. And you lose sight of the bigger picture, what the Lord has done. And coming back here and seeing maybe reflected in the eyes of those who are seeing the report and remembering really what the Lord has done over all these years has been very encouraging to us. And it's encouraging as well to hear people who have said that we've been praying for you or we will be praying for you because that's what we need. And that's how the Lord works. We don't go out to do this in our own strength. We could never do it in our own strength. We're constantly reminded that the only reason that all this is happening is because the Lord is doing the work, and the Lord uses the prayers of his people all over the world to fulfill his will, to do what he's doing in Mexico and other parts of the world as well. And so the missionary comes back and gives a report, and notice in verse 27 that they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And that's just to emphasize that you don't focus on the missionary. Never focus on the man, the woman, the family, because we're just instruments like anybody else. And just because we've gone to another country does not make us super Christians. We're not extra special. The Lord can use us as he can use you and anybody else. As Paul and Barnabas reported when they came back, the Lord has done the work. They said the Lord had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas were just instruments. And so never focus on the missionary. Focus on what God is doing, what God has done, and what God will continue to do. So some Christians are involved as missionaries who go out. And I would challenge you to consider that. Because the Lord still is calling missionaries. And the Lord is calling children, young people, and adults. I always say children because the Lord gave me a burden to be a missionary when I was 7. That's very young. And my Sunday school teacher had a great influence on me. And we don't know all the time how we can sow that seed and what word it could be or what message it could be that plants that desire in the heart of a child or a young person to serve the Lord as a missionary. So that's every one of you to consider, whether you're a young person or an adult, what the Lord will have you to do. So maybe that he would have you here in this particular local church to support missionary work here. And that's important. You're as essential to the work in Mexico City as I am. And that sounds strange, but it really is true because some go and some stay, and the Lord uses them all. But I do pray as we've been visiting these churches and giving this message over many different places that the Lord will call missionaries. The Lord will continue to raise up young people, young couples, maybe who had never thought of it before and thought, well, my job's here, my family's here, and this is where I'm going to serve the Lord. The Lord could have you someplace else as well. Ask the Lord what he would have you to do. Because everybody, without exception, can be, should be, part of the missionary work of the Lord. Amen.
Well, most encouraging tonight from God's servant. We thank Reverend Boyle for coming here and to bring the report to us of what the Lord is doing, and we can say that to be so, what the Lord has done and what he will do. And let's pray for him. Let's take him upon our hearts and the work of God upon our hearts in these days. So we'll do that in a few moments' time. Again, just to remind you of the little card